A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton coming to you this morning from Olson's Greenhouse. We are with Brian Lloyd this morning. You can ask him your questions as well. Let's go back to our listener questions. Next person is saying, what is the best way to reduce weeds, retain water around grapes, fruit trees, etc.? Would it be mulch, rubber tree mulch ring, or just ground?
Well, when the grapes are not leafed out yet, grapes actually leaf out a little bit later in the spring. So you have some opportunity. I don't like getting glyphosate or Roundup spray on the trunks of the grapes. Mm-hmm. But if you're careful, you can just spray the weeds out underneath. Then you can try some mulch or something. But I think just maintaining bare ground or the bark mulch can help because it will retain some moisture in the soil and keep the weeds down. But if you have problems with bindweed or quackgrass, then you're probably going to need to turn to something like Roundup.
Okay, next listener says they need a small to medium-sized apple tree, preferably something crispy and sweet, and they want it to be, they say low maintenance would be a bonus.
Well, I would avoid Honeycrisp because it is just a nightmare to take care of, but there are many apples out there that are really good, and it just depends on their taste. Now, apple trees are sold on many different rootstocks, and so they may need to order one online. But they can get one that'll stay 10 to 15 feet high and wide if they order online just with a dwarfing rootstock. But those kinds of trees oftentimes need to be staked for the life of the tree. And so they would need to put a T-post next to it and then just carefully secure the trunk to a T-post to add some extra support. But most of the common varieties, whether it's Gala, Fuji, Golden Delicious, will have there. You can find them, especially in the spring, grafted onto a dwarfing rootstock.
All right. Alan in Santaquin wants to know what type of bulk soil that he should get for deep 18-inch beds.
You know, there's a soil company called Sunshine that I think makes a pretty good raised bed mix. I believe that they manufacture it for several local farm stores for private label. Mm-hmm. But I've had pretty good luck with Sunshine Raised Bed Mix, but a lot of the garden centers will mix their own. You know, I know J&J does. I believe that Cooks up in north end of the county mix their own. But I think almost anything will work. But if you're buying baled stuff, if you can find something from Sunshine, I think that I've had the best luck with it. Brian, do you have any recommendations?
No, you just want to get the main components. You want good drainage, since it's a raised bed, you want good drainage and you want some way to provide nutrients. So I like to mix just Mel's mix, you know, compost, a third vermiculite, and a third peat moss.
And that's fine. I think that a lot of these outdoor mixes are a little bit heavier, and I use that it loosely than a true potting soil because they need to retain a little more water, but they need to be more sharply drained. That Mel's mix is fine too.
Yep. There's all sorts of products out there. As long as you've got drainage is the main key.
And he also wants to know, Ton, what variety of evergreen tree should he buy that would look like a large Christmas tree? You can have mine if you want to come dig it out. It's
everybody
huge.
Wants subalpine fir, but that is a nightmare tree to take care of.
Stop it.
Well, about a third to half of them are dead within 10 years of being planted. So there's some spruce, like oriental spruce. I think Gaudi. There's a few of them. I would hit a garden center in the spring, especially a major garden center that's usually open year-round and has a big selection. So someplace like Progressive, J&J, Cooks, Linden Nursery, some of these places have a very good selection of conifers that have a different growth habit or don't get as tall. And you can find a lot of these that look a little bit more like a true Christmas tree, but you may only be able to buy them from mid-March to early May and they're gone.
All right. Should people be fertilizing their perennial beds now?
Not really. Brian, what's your recommendations on the fertilizer?
No, perennials want to go to bed right now, and fertilizer stimulates growth. That's not good for the the winter. So no, now's not a good time to fertilize. It's something you want to do either early in the spring, like really early, late winter, or throughout the growing season before they start blooming.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines. Pam waiting very patiently. Good morning, Pam. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I had, I got an amaryllis last winter. It bloomed, and this spring I went ahead and planted it out in the garden. It's done very well, got a lot of big leaves on it. But now how do I prepare it to bloom again this winter?
Well, if you actually planted it in the soil, what I would recommend doing is digging it up and putting it into a cool, dark area and letting it cut off the water and let it go dormant.
Okay, so
and
is
then
that
after,
time to do that now?
You should have done this about a month ago.
Okay.
So you're probably going to have a January or February amaryllis. So let it go dormant and then put it back into a pot that's about an inch wider all the way around than the actual bulb. And
okay.
Then you would let it sit in the dark for anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. Once that's done, it may start to shoot some new growth. It may not, but put it back into a pot, bring it out in the light, start watering it, maybe a little bit of fertilizer, and then go ahead and just keep it as a house plant until maybe late July of next year, and then that's when you want it. If you want it blooming at Christmas, you need to have it go dormant sometime in late July or early August.
Okay. That's
oh,
what
my
I
gosh,
to
I'm
know.
Late, too. What a great question. I needed to ask that
there
question a month ago.
There is nothing wrong with Valentine's Day amaryllis.
I know. I have several now. I will do that when I go home today. So let's go to Jane in Bountiful. Good morning, Jane. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. Yes, a week and a half ago before the storm, I planted a couple of 25-gallon maple trees in my parking, the Urban Sunset. And, of course, that was the day before the storm, and it tipped them a bit. And I had some pretty strong guys kind of lift it up and set it back. But it kind of rotated like, ball in a socket. But I'm concerned. The leaves they're starting to look a little bad, but I'm guessing it's from the wind whipping. What can I do to make sure that this tree makes it?
Well, I'm not really awfully concerned if it was just barely planted, because it didn't sink roots into the soil yet, and it's made it through 5/6 of the growing season, because those will leaf out sometime in April. So you've got April, May, June, July, August, September, and it loses leaves in October. So it's had 5/6 of the growing season to collect energy all year long. So, yeah, it's not, the greatest thing, but as long as it's healthy, it should leaf out in the spring and be just fine.
So should I water it in again? Because
well, you don't want to drown it. If the soil's moist, there's no reason to water. But you also don't want to just walk away and let it get bone dry.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, and one other question, kind of related. Is it true that the reason so many needle trees blew over is because we water our lawns around them, and even though we might deep water, they have no reason to go down because they're getting like every third day or fourth day water?
Well,
is that true? What can we do?
Trees don't really anchor well. I mean, I'll back up. They do anchor well, but what I'm trying to say is 90% of trees' roots stay in the top 2 feet of soil. There's usually some anchor roots that'll help hold the tree, but 90% of the root mass is in the top 2 feet. So like a spruce, doesn't really have a lot of anchor roots, and it depends on growing in forest situations to where the wind is diminished by the sheer numbers of the trees. And when you plant an individual spruce, it doesn't anchor well, and they're more likely than other conifers to fall over. Other pine trees blew down just because of the force of the winds. But if you're in a high wind area like Farmington Canyon or Weber Canyon, I personally would not put spruce in my yard because they're so likely to blow over.
Okay. Well, I'm in Bountiful. Trees all around blew down. So
they did. You could focus on smaller conifers like Bosnian pines because of their reduced size. They only get about 30 or 35 feet. a smaller tree is going to be less likely to blow over than a great big one.
Okay. All right. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. You bet. Thanks for calling this morning. Next listener wants to know, maybe you sort of addressed this last go around, but they want to grow tomatoes next year in containers in a box, and they're wondering what kind of soil is best for tomatoes.
Brian, do you want to take this one?
No, go
okay. So the tomatoes, if I'm growing tomatoes, I'm just going to spend the extra money and get brand new soil every year. There's just such a buildup of diseases really quickly, especially with tomatoes. So buy a good quality potting soil, and when you think you have a big enough container for the tomato, buy one twice as big.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just such, and one of the biggest mistakes we make is trying to grow a tomato even like in a 5-gallon bucket. And if you're trying to grow a celebrity in a 5-gallon bucket, there's not enough mass in there for the roots to really thrive. So you do need a bigger container or a dwarf tomato, something like patio tomato. Then I would make sure that you keep it fertilized with Osmocote or Miracle-Gro, but don't over-fertilize it. That potting soil doesn't hold as many nutrients as long as your native soil, and so you're probably going to want to supplement every week or so with Miracle-Gro or a Miracle-Gro-type product or Osmocote. And even though if that Osmocote says season-long, because we're watering so often, we drive the nutrients out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you need to reapply Osmocote in midsummer.
Okay, next caller, Cindy in Highland. Good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. We have a play area that has wood chips in it. We want to fill it in and sod it. Can we just put topsoil over the wood chips and then put the sod down?
How many inches of topsoil are you putting down?
Probably just about 4 inches.
No, what's going to happen is you'll get a weird layer underneath the soil, and that as it breaks down, those wood chips will rob the soil of nitrogen because the soil microorganisms require it to break them down, and they're more efficient at taking it out of the soil than the grass. So I would just get a leaf blower and blow the wood chips into your neighbor's yard.
Okay.
Not really, but yeah, you're going to need to get them out. A leaf blower, if you can lay down a tarp or something along the edge that's long enough or wide enough, you might be able to leaf blow them right onto the tarp as long as you're not like going full blast, and then just collect the tarp and send them to green waste.
Okay. Thank you
so much for your call. You're not a very nice neighbor.
Well, I'm not serious when I say leaf blow them into your neighbor's yard because
I'm
you don't.
I'm glad to hear that. And I don't think the leaf blower would probably be able to move some of those.
No, and so anyway. I'm assuming they're smaller. If not, they're going to have to get a leaf rake and get them out that way. Or you can buy adjustable rakes that are really nice
mm-hmm.
that are telescoping. And so you can adjust the size of the actual rake by just moving a lever up and down. They're metal, but those are really nice for cleaning out flower beds too.
Exactly what I have. Love it.
Yeah, I'm getting
except
that look
bend,
that
though.
I'm going to be standing in the corner at the end of the show.
No, you're already. You should have the dunce hat on this
yes.
morning. So we are at Olson's Greenhouse this morning with Brian Lloyd. I'm going to talk to Brian for a minute, put you in the corner. And, Brian, we were talking about we're out here today. You have this huge acreage of greenhouses.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But people can't come here. You're a wholesaler. So
we're a wholesale grower. We are committed to our retail outlets, which are Home Depot and Walmart. This time of year, and we sell them all of their plants, and so we're all geared up towards growing a lot of plants. We're not geared up for people shopping, unfortunately, because it's such a great experience. You can see on the webcam that we have going along with the show right now how awesome it is to be in this environment, and whenever things get stressful in my job, I love to come out here and walk amongst the plants, but unfortunately, we're geared towards growing wall-to-wall. We have tons of plants in here and all the acres of greenhouses that we have.
Well, it's amazing how busy things are all the time. You know, I watch your Santa Quinn growing operation a little more than this one, just so I live down there. But there's trucks in and out all the time, and you're just moving fresh product to all the stores that's just gorgeous.
Yeah, and tractors and people pulling the product and loading them onto those trucks. So we're all geared towards growing as many plants because it's expensive to grow grow within a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to get as much light into here as we can. But at the same time, we've got to keep the temperature there, and the temperature wants to go right out the glass windows. So we want to grow as many plants as we can fit inside the walls of the greenhouse, And we're all geared towards mass production around here.
Yeah. So the plants are also local and responsibly grown. You know, there's a focus on integrated pest management where use of pesticides is highly discouraged, using natural predators and other methods to keep it so these are going to be low risk, locally grown, support the local economy, and you can get them just any Home Depot or Walmart.
That's exactly right. And the biggest point there, Ton, is that it is locally grown. Even though it's grown within a greenhouse, there's nothing like the light levels that we can reproduce here. So when you buy a plant that comes from out of state, it's got to go through an acclimation period before it can be healthy in your yard. That's why you want to buy locally grown. So we've grown them right in the high light, mountain valley weather and humidity that we have in Utah, that you have in your yards. And so it's already set up for the most prosperous life it's going to have when you buy a plant that started at Olson's greenhouse.
Right. The greenhouse is still mostly full here, so that means you have plenty of plants out at Home Depot and Walmart.
We do. We've already loaded the stores up, and we have been for the last several weeks, but we've got plenty of plants to replenish them as you come in and get your plants. We'll be shipping clear into October, so you can find your mums and pansies and all the other annuals, ground covers, and perennials that we grow at Olson's Greenhouse.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse, the waning minutes of the show. And we've had just a wonderful time today being at Olson's Greenhouse.
It's been wonderful to have you here, yes.
Thank you for having us here. Before we run out of time, let's get to this next texter. They want to know, is the Eastern Redbud a good tree to plant in Draper, and when's a good time to plant it?
Eastern Redbud is relatively adapted to our soil, and you can plant them now. They are a little more challenging to get established just because they are tap-rooted. And when they're put into a pot, it takes them a little while to get that reestablished. Mm-hmm. They also have a little bit more brittle wood than many other trees, and so you oftentimes don't see redbuds over about 25 or 30 years old because they just collapse from being so brittle. But they're pretty trees, and people want them, and so, yeah, it's fine.
Just have a couple minutes left. People are wondering, though, is this the good time to weed and feed the lawn, do these kinds of things?
Make sure it's below 85 degrees for a 24-hour period. When you put weed and feed down, if you're using granule, you need to make sure the lawn is wet from the sprinklers and then put it down while the lawn is wet.
Brian, thank you so much for having
us
here today.
Coming out.
When we get done here, we are going to do a quick video. We're going to put it on the Facebook, on the Greenhouse Facebook page. And you're going to show us how to put together a fall container.
Yes.
We're really excited about it, and so people can catch that later, too.
It'll be super exciting. Now's the time of year that it's great to decorate your porch. We've got Halloween coming up, but you can buy flowers and plants right now that will last the entire fall.
And you can do so many fun things. We know people love decorating for Halloween. So we know that they can get their little pumpkins and gourds, and I'm excited to see the millet that you're going to show us in this container.
Yeah, we've got lots of exciting stuff. You're going to want to tune into that Facebook page. So it's the KSL Greenhouse on Facebook.
And thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. We're leaving a few of you. We're not answering your questions, but we'll get to you next week. Greenhouse Show, Saturday mornings, 8 to 11. Tune in early. You know, the earlier you get your questions and calls in, the more likely we are to get to those. So thank you so much for joining us today. Tom, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Haven't seen you since March.
No, and it may be a while yet,
but right?
It's been good.
Have a great weekend.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.